It's the sound of deliciousness.
It sure is. And ladies and gentlemen, it is because we have someone very delicious here with us today. We have with you someone so special that we've been courting for our podcast for many a month, and today is the day.
She's here and looking fabulous.
Just to give you a preface before we even say who it is, she is wearing beautiful platform yellow shoes and a pineapple skirt.
And her shoes actually have a pineapple theme to them that matches her skirt, and that is why I'm in heaven right now.
So you know that it's going to be good.
Yes.
Let us tell you, we would like to introduce to you. I love that you're sitting so silently waiting for this intro to be over. Let us introduce to you the one and only, the beautiful goddess, Randi Zuckerberg. Ladies and gentlemen, she is a New York Times best-selling author, founder and CEO of Zuckerberg Media, and gorgeous beyond.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, it's so thrilling to be here, and I wish this is the one time with podcasts, you know, that you feel bad there's not a video camera, because we're all wearing our fancy shoes, like Kristen's having another beautiful hair day. I mean, there's a lot going on here, so I feel like our listeners are getting a little robbed.
We could set the stage for you that there's beautiful sunflowers, and then there's our gorgeous microphone between us, and then we have a copy of Randi's new book, Pick 3, displayed on the table with some raw almonds, and we're all sharing champagne glasses full of coconut liqueur.
It is. It's like when you see on Instagram a photo captioned hashtag friend goals, that's what's happening at this moment.
I was telling Randi this morning, I was like, oh, no one makes a spread like Natalie Roy. Like, there's absolutely no person on the planet that makes everything beautiful. Like, she's very dedicated to beauty, and why I keep
it's
her
great
around.
No, life is about beauty, right?
Yes.
I saw something you posted recently that was like, you know, like, don't wait for a celebration to wear your beautiful clothing. Like, life is the celebration.
Yes.
And, like, you inspired me. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go into my closet. I'm going to wear, like, a ball gown today, because
yes.
Why not? So,
well, you know what's so funny? Actually, how the idea of you being on this podcast came about was I was shopping at a store on the Upper West Side, and the women at the store, as I was trying on the dresses, said to me, could we take pictures of you in the dresses? You look so cute. And I said, well, of course, I'm 5'2". I never thought I would have a modeling career, but here we go. And so then they sent these pictures to Randi to be like, oh, here's some outfits that we have at our store. And she goes, yeah, and that's my friend Natalie.
It was such a moment. And first of all, I love that store because I'm so busy. I'm always on the road. I have no time to pick anything up or get anything. And so they do a great job there of just sending me photos. And they're like, if you like this, we'll just messenger it to you. And it was such a magical moment in the universe that you were the model.
And then, so then we reached out and we were talking. We must see each other. We must do something. Oh my gosh, we must have you on the podcast because your book had, I think, just come out or was about to come out.
Yeah,
when we first
pretty new.
Messaging.
It just came out in May, and I'm so thrilled to be here with you guys today.
And Randi's book, if you don't know it, and I'm sure that you do by now, Randi Zuckerberg's book is called Pick 3. You can have it all, just not every day. So we thought, you know, Natalie and I were talking about, we've actually mentioned this concept before, talking about you on our podcast of you can have it all, but not just at the same time. So really curious about your journey to discovering the concepts in this book. And as we were telling you earlier, just this morning, the two of us were having a conversation as friends of how we keep in balance. And you know, when you are someone who loves big, you want to get involved in everything. You want to create everything. You want to make this big, beautiful life. But how do you create it in a way where it keeps you from letting that overwhelm get too much?
Exactly. And I think, you know, that's what I love about having both of you as friends, is that we all see life like a dessert buffet. You're like, there's always a little bit of room for one more delicious thing, you know, just bring it. But at some point, I think it can feel like you're treading water a little bit, like you haven't left yourself with any time to be strategic about the things you've picked to work on, or how to further yourself and your goals. So I was kind of at a moment in my life when I had decided all in the scheme of a few weeks to start my own business, move, I was about to have a baby. I mean, all these huge things happening in my life. And I was so excited and thrilled for all the changes, but at the same time, I definitely felt like I was treading water a little bit and having trouble seeing the side of the pool. And so I went to Twitter, I guess that's what techies do, you know, when you feel like you're having like an existential life moment. And I just tweeted out this tweet, "The Entrepreneur's Dilemma, Work, Sleep, Family, Friends, Fitness, Pick Three." And because I felt like I was in this moment where I wanted to have all five of those things in my life, but I felt like on any given day, I could really only do three of them. And it seemed like it resonated with a lot of people. This was several years ago that I put that tweet out and started to resonate. And I started to get a lot of feedback on it too from people that were like, this isn't just for entrepreneurs. Like, this is for everyone. No one can pick it. And now here we are about fast forward 7 years later. And, Pick Three is now a book.
And how did you develop this as a book? What was your jumping off point?
I wanted to really sit down with a lot of people who, and not just, I mean, I feel like a lot of books interview only people who are celebrities or at the very top of their game. I mean, my hypothesis was, okay, this Pick Three concept is working for me in my life. It's made balancing things a lot more manageable, but is this something that works for more people or is it just me? So I set out to interview about 50 people from all ages, walks of life, everyone from students to empty nesters to surgeons to Olympic athletes, like everyone. And I just wanted to see, is there anyone out there who can pick more than three things in a day?
So give us an example about like how in any given day you end up picking three.
Like, yes. And that's the beautiful thing. You know, even though it's like work, sleep, family, friends, fitness, pick three, I'm not saying pick three and you're stuck with those three things for life. I'm saying that on any day.
Yeah.
So every morning when you wake up, is a new opportunity to pick three different things. And the hope is that you do end up picking all five in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of about having balance in the long run of life. Now, for me, what I've seen is that people tend to be in kind of phases of their life. When you're, you know, in your 20s, 30s, you're really focused on your career, you're socializing a lot. And I know I'm making very broad generalizations here, but just that sometime around that kind of messy middle of your life, you know, throw a family into the mix, you do things, and that kind of shakes up your priorities a lot. I know for me, like seeing you guys, this is the closest to hanging out with friends that I've gotten in months because, you know, I have my own business. I have two young children, you know, that doesn't leave very much time for other things. And then I see my parents kind of on the other side of it, and they're like, YOLOing it up, traveling, like they're always with their friends. And so I think when you look at the phases of your life, you can have it all, just not at any one time.
Wow, I love that. And it's so interesting to me because a lot of what we talk about is that everyone is a creator and that everyone gets to be a creator in their life, not a reactor to life.
Totally.
And it's like what you're saying is that you decide from a place of power. Today, here's what I'm focusing on. And so then you have mastery over your life and you're not spending all day long just reacting to circumstances.
Exactly. And I don't know about you. I've made way too many in my life of those to-do lists where then, you know, you don't end up getting to half the things on it and you go to bed at night only thinking about the things you didn't do and it's weighing you down. But, you know, doing three things in a day is very manageable and you can probably do those three things very well. And then you end up going to bed at night feeling like you accomplished something rather than thinking about what you didn't do.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting that positive psychology talks a lot about not motivating to negative goals. Mm. So even sometimes people will set a goal like, I want to lose weight. But even within that goal, you're saying, I'm already bad. There's something wrong with me. There's something that needs fixing. And my goal is to be better than I am now, as opposed to motivating to a positive goal, which is I'm giving myself, you know, I just want to feel great in my body. That's a positive goal that is easier to motivate towards than
totally
in that place of you're never quite doing enough, you're never quite nailing it, you always could be doing better. Instead, switching the perception to say, oh, I'm deciding for this day, here's what I'm going to be awesome at. And then you do that and then you feel great.
I think it's also about getting out of kind of the pressure that society puts on us. I mean, I don't know about you guys. I'm just so sick and tired of hearing the words like well-balanced.
Like, what is that?
Yeah, you're like, first of all, that's not a thing that's attainable in any of our lives. And also, okay, here, can I play a fun exercise?
Yes!
Maybe you guys can tell me the two or three things in your life that you're most proud of that you've done. And if and I'm also curious to know if any of those things happened when you were well-balanced in your life.
Exactly.
All right, hold on. I have my first two. I'm going in for three. Do you have your three yet?
They're going to come to me in the moment.
All right. Okay, so, well, I think the first one would probably be Rock of Ages, because it has been a good, like, 15 years of my life, and 5 years to get to Broadway, another 5-6 years of it on Broadway, and the rolling out of it, and so it's, I sometimes see all of my shows or projects like children, and that's one that I put such focused intention to for such a long period of time. And when they say the journey is everything, the journey of it was everything. The not knowing, the times when it died and it seems like it was never going to happen, the times, all those last minute races.
Did you tell Randy about the storyline where Drew was cut and it was Franz's story?
Yeah, before we went off Broadway, we had done 3 developmental productions and they told us we had to cut the cast size down. We had too many leads. And so we did this whole version of it where we cut Drew and we merged Drew and Franz into one character.
That's amazing.
And it was like, okay. It was hilarious. So
Rock of Ages. And for those of you, just as a segue, those of you who may not know, Randy starred in Rock of Ages on Broadway.
Oh my gosh. For a hot minute, they made my dreams
amazing.
Come true.
Playing the love interest of this character, Franz.
So yes. And the second thing would be starting Create With You and everything that this has brought, you know, the podcast, the workshops, everything that we are about. I think I'm the most proud of it because it felt like such an inner calling, and it felt like really deeply listening to a place inside that said, go here, do this. And it's just been the most fun ever. And our ability to say our truth out loud and then to receive so much feedback from people that it's of service to them. We get beautiful emails and texts and messages all the time from people we don't know. And I think that is incredible. It's just to be able to feel the ripple effect you can have in the world.
It's amazing. You've certainly created things that are much bigger than yourselves.
Right. It's like that feeling.
Yeah.
And then the third thing I'm the most proud of would probably be my relationship with my family.
Mm.
Like my mom and dad and my brothers. We just really have a great time together and we're best friends.
I love
that. And so to have like a healthy family unit.
Yes.
I
think that's so beautiful. And so I write a lot in the book about trying to be well lopsided instead of being well balanced, because and so Natalie, I'm really interested to hear yours, because I truly believe that the things that we all look back on that fill us with so much pride in our lives didn't happen when we perfectly had that 9-to-5. Like they happen when you
never
let yourselves be lopsided and really just go for it.
Sure.
In areas of your life. I don't know, Natalie, do you?
Absolutely. Well, the very first thing that came to my mind was twice in my life, I've made a really big move. Like I moved from my small town to Toronto and then I moved from Toronto to New York. And I remember in both cases having something like $40 in my bank account when I did it. And I remember getting on the plane from my 900 person town to move to Toronto to make it as an actress. And I remember just saying, I just have to think about Sex and the City. So I had spike heels on the airplane and I had a suitcase of clothes and $40. And it was just the inner calling of like, so much in my life is not saying this is a good time or a good moment for this, but there was an inner knowing that just you must go. And New York was the same thing. I remember moving to New York, not knowing how long I could even be here, not having a green card, not knowing. I took the Greyhound bus And I arrived with a suitcase, and I remember having like $40 in my bank account and walking past West Elm and buying this yellow pillow. And I'm like, I could have spent it on food. But for some reason, that pillow just was like representative of,
yeah,
I'm going to make myself a place and I'm going to do this thing. But absolutely everything in my life, all these huge opportunities actually had to go away because I was wanting to do this thing.
Totally.
The second one for me is kind of this combo platter of the moment in my life where I moved into this apartment that we're all in.
Yeah.
This was a huge thing for me because financially, I didn't know it was going to be my first apartment by myself as a single gal. And I ended up having every day I would sit in meditation and dream about my apartment. And I didn't know what it was or what it was going to look like. And I literally dreamed of myself painting these gray walls in this beautiful space. Cut to, I had an audition for a Home Depot commercial, and they say to me, all we need you to do in the commercial is pretend you're painting a wall. And I thought, well, I've been doing this every day in my meditation. I booked the commercial. It was a national commercial. It paid for me to have this apartment.
That's amazing.
And it was during that time, it was really interesting. I was sick. We had just gotten back from a trip, and I was sick as a dog, and I was going through a separation, and it was like everything in my life was like, I could barely walk up and down the steps, but I was going to lay on the floor in this apartment and know that I had made it. And that was the moment when we were really starting this company together as well. So it was all this leap of faith kind of moment.
I love that. It definitely doesn't sound like it was really perfectly well-balanced.
Yeah. Absolute opposite.
Yeah.
And then the last one for me is it's this daily thing that I'm so proud of, that every day there is a voice in my head that says, are you sure you're enough? Are you sure you can do it? I don't think you can do it. I don't know. Someone else is better than you, or thinner, or smarter, or something. And every day that I get to say, oh, I hear that voice, but it's an opinion, not the truth, and I'm just going to keep moving forward.
Totally.
And so for me, that constant negotiation and that I'm stronger than that voice is probably the thing I'm the most proud of.
Well, I love that. And for me, everything what you guys are describing, this has been, I think, the biggest evolution between that first tweet about Pick Three and the book that I ended up writing, because I did want to get to the heart of, you know, well, what does make people happy about prioritizing things? And really what I learned from the 50, probably 100 people I've spoken to now about the book is that it is when we are a bit off balance that we're actually happiest, when we are allowing ourselves to prioritize things that we love or going for it. And so I think this whole myth of striving to have it all every day and be balanced is actually making us less happy.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
There's a great Elizabeth Gilbert essay on balance. It's on her website, but she literally says balance is a myth. It doesn't exist.
That's right.
You know, you're going to constantly go in and out of all these other things. And so I think almost like being able to know internally when we feel out of balance, this ability, like, pat ourselves on the back and go,
totally,
you just gave yourself to something.
I've never had one person when I ask that question to say that, like, the time that they are proudest in their life is like when they, like, had a 9-to-5 job and then they went home and went to SoulCycle and did this thing. Like, no, people immediately go to these times that they were, like, super focused on one area of their life and just, like, nailing it.
Yes. Well, the yogis have this thing where in the philosophy of yoga, they talk about that balance is something called sattva, which is actually riding a wave. So it's not that you're just ever in one place at the same time. It's the wave goes a little bit up, a little bit down, a little bit up, a little bit down.
That's beautiful.
And they talk about the opposite of that is you're either rajasic or tamasic.
Yeah.
Rajasic is the fire. It's like you're go, go, go. I got to do everything. I got to be everything. I got to be super mom and wear the cutest outfit and do this and be here and make money. And they always say that if too much fire will lead to burnout, which is the tamasic energy, which is the rock, the depression, the lethargy. I don't have any motivation. I can't do anything. And then the tamasic energy will always lead you back to the fire. I got to try harder. I got to work harder. I got to do more, which leads you back to the tamasic. So you're in the this endless cycle of failure. But when you're just surfing the sattvic, when you're riding the wave, some days are going to feel better than others.
Yeah.
Some days are going to feel easier than others. But you can maintain that with so much more joy and clarity you're just in that place where you're not draining your energy.
That's so beautiful. It's a beautiful way to look at it.
No. Feel free to take it.
I know, like, that'll be my next
from the yogis.
Ride the wave.
Speaking of doing a lot and giving yourself to many things, you have created some really cool stuff, and I'd love for just everyone to know about it. So one of the things, and we were just talking about it, is Sue's Tech Kitchen. Can you please tell us all about that?
Oh my gosh. Well, this has been just a dream project to work on, but it all really stems back from my time in Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. I spent 10 years in Silicon Valley, which was, I mean, it's incredible. That's definitely up there in kind of my three proudest things is what we worked on and what we built at Facebook over the years while I was there. But I definitely started to look around and think, like, why am I the only woman in every room I'm in? You know, I was like, I've met so many smart, passionate, incredible women in my life, yet you get out to this industry where it's incredibly high paying jobs with a lot of creativity and there are no women.
Yes.
Like, where, why? That makes no sense to me. And so I started doing a lot of research of, like, I wanted to pinpoint the moment that we lose women. And I started off as thinking, like, maybe it's in college. I don't know. It's 9 years old.
Wow.
Is the moment that the gap starts. It's somewhere in third and fourth grade that girls start developing their identity and they start saying things like math and science is for boys, or I'm good at this, I'm not good at this. So I decided that I was going to get into children's programming. I didn't know anything about children's content or children's programming, but I was like, all I know is that I have to talk to 9 and 10 year old girls so that 20 years from now, Silicon Valley looks very different. So the first thing I did is I wrote a book called Dot about a super techie little girl that's now a TV show in multiple countries. We just wrote our 80th episode.
80 episodes? Yeah. You're slaying.
I read this book, and this is like an amazing book, like not just for kids. Like, I have read and love this book.
Thank you.
I love that.
We recently just launched it across all of Latin America and South America and Spanish, and that was just a really beautiful moment for me. And then a year ago, I accidentally stumbled on a new business that we did. So I thought, okay, Dot is doing a great job, but still I felt like it was really only accessible to people who were already leaning into tech in their homes a little bit, because, you know, the parents were going to choose to put on Dot and introduce it to their kids or different things. And so I thought, you know, how do I reach that kid in the middle of the country that has nobody in their life who's like telling them to be good at math and science, or that it's cool, you know? So we opened up this little dessert shop in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is a city, an incredible city, but a city in transition. They've just lost all their automotive factories and they're trying to rebrand themselves as a tech hub. And so we opened in Chattanooga a dessert shop that's run by robots. So you go in and you can have a 3D printed chocolate s'more. We have robots that make pancakes. We have, we pour liquid nitrogen over cereal. So when you eat it, you breathe smoke out your nose. Like, just,
yes.
It's just like such a delightful thing. Everything in there is like Instagrammable and fun and kind of this wow moment. And what we started seeing were that people drove for hours from rural areas to bring their kids here. It's called Sue's Tech Kitchen, and we now will have our 9th location that we're opening by the end of the summer, 1 year later.
That's incredible. And you know what I love about your story is you had never been involved in a restaurant
No,
before.
I know nothing
about
it. Like,
about
I can't
it.
Even cook. My like, I can order things on Seamless.
Yes, yes. I had this conversation.
There are so many people that want to do something but go, I can't do it because I have no experience, or I've never done this before.
I don't know the how.
And you kind of fearlessly jumped in and said, I'll figure it out. We'll
you know,
sometimes
out. I think it's better because,
yeah.
So, I mean, I ran one marathon in my life, which is also on my top 3 list of things I'm proud of. And I think it's easier to run your first marathon than your second, because like I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what it was going to be like. So you
sure.
kind of just jump in. Once you know what it's like, you have in your mind this way of like, this is how it has to be done.
Sure.
This is the way it's always been. And I think it's sometimes it's beautiful to just dive into the unknown of things you're uncomfortable with, because it forces you to just lean on your own creativity and not like the way things have always been done.
Well, what I love about everything that you talk about, it comes from a question in your own life.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't ever come from a place of answer. Like, I have the answer, let me give everyone the answer. It comes from a place of, what am I curious about? What am I interested in? Where do I see a need? And how could I be part of something
totally.
That can fill that need? And all you do is just lead in and lead yourself into that question. And you just take one next step, which is what we always tell people. You don't have to know how to get to the finish line. It's
That's
just
right.
being willing to ask the next question.
And it's okay to be a work in progress. I think so many women like to wait until things are perfect
yeah.
to launch them and do things. And life is messy. It's not perfect. I mean, our Chattanooga sweet shop was so tiny. It was like three little experiences. Now that I look back on it, I'm like, I don't even know why people came to it, because it was like so hacked together. But like, we did it out of love, and we kind of told people coming in with the ethos, like, this is just an idea that we have, you know, give us feedback. And now a year later, it's so much better. We have like 10 different experiences in there. And even then I go in and I'm like, there's so much more I want to do. So I think it's also okay to not wait for things to be perfect and just try.
100%. And I love what you said is, we did it out of love. Like, I think when love is the motivator to what you're doing, it helps you overcome the challenges.
Totally.
But people can also feel it in the service you're providing.
That's right.
What were some of the challenges that you came face to face with in doing Dot and with Sue's Tech Kitchen?
Yeah.
And how did you overcome them when doing something brand new?
Gosh, well, I mean, first of all, any entrepreneurial endeavor is a roller coaster ride. Sometimes within the same hour, you can go from being like, I'm killing this, to an hour later, you're like questioning all your life decisions. You're on the floor, right?
Every moment.
You know, it would be easy for me to get on the podcast and be like, yes, it's been so awesome. And there's definitely like ups and downs, probably even today alone.
Yeah.
For example, one of the locations we opened of Sue's Tech Kitchen in the South, people in the local community took out an op-ed in the local newspaper on the front page saying that like they don't need Randy coming down and educating their girls.
Oh.
And like that was a real moment for me, because it illustrated a lot of the things that are going on in politics and the divide in this country right now. It kind of reminded me why I needed to do this more than ever. But
yes.
it definitely made me sit back and question, like, am I doing the right thing? Am I just like trying to force my values of what people, you know, kids should be learning on people who are not receptive? Like,
right.
You know, it really made me rethink a lot of things that I was doing. And ultimately, I think everywhere that we've gone with Sue's Tech Kitchen, people have been like, we are so happy you're here. Like, we have nothing like this. But, you know, anytime you get criticism or pushback like that, it really kind of, it cuts you.
Well, it's interesting because we just watched the Will You Be My Neighbor documentary, the Fred Rogers documentary, which we sobbed, like, we sobbed so loudly people moved away from us in the theater because
yeah.
we were so moved. But one of the things was that one of his messages, his central message is, you are special exactly the way you are. It's
mm-hmm.
not something you have to earn, or someday you will be special. You come
totally.
Into this world, you are a special person. And newspapers were blasting him, saying, you're creating a generation of entitled people.
Wow. Yeah.
And so it's almost this thing of, anytime you are trying to take the world where it's never been before,
yeah.
we must face non-agreement.
Totally.
And then that tests our faith of, but I still really care about this, so let's keep moving forward.
I think it's an indication. Criticism is that you're doing something brand new that the world needs.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, people are having reactions.
That's
They're
right.
getting triggered. It's
good.
That's true.
If you weren't upsetting anyone, it means you're not doing something important enough.
That's
to
exactly right.
upset people.
To cause people to question their own beliefs. And that's what causes the upset, right?
Yeah.
This is forcing me to look at something that I've always thought was a certain way. And it's turning over the apple cart. So thank you so much for saying also that every day is a roller coaster, because I think that all of us need to hear that and acknowledge
yeah.
that and know that we're in it together.
Totally.
And that we have those moments where we feel like we're on top of the world and we're nailing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the moments where we're questioning our life decisions, as you said so eloquently.
We say this all the time with artists, is a lot of people have this idea that once I get to a certain financial place, or once my business gets to a certain place, or once my artistic career gets to a certain place, then surely I won't have problems anymore. Right. But we always say, but the bigger you grow, the bigger your problems.
Absolutely. Like money and fame and things, they only amplify what's already inside of you. They don't change you. And that was one of the things when I first walked in here, I commented, you know, how lucky the two of you are to have one another, because I think, you know, when you've been a solo founder, like I have most of my life, when you're in the down moments, you don't really have a business partner to lift you out of it. It's rare in a partnership that both people feel down. Usually, one person can play the optimist. So what I usually advise to, you know, anyone out there who's an artist or who's going at it on their own, is that you almost make like a life advisory board. You know, pick
so
a
good.
Few friends in your life that are kind of on your personal advisory board. That
pick
even,
three.
Yeah, exactly. Pick three. You know, pick three people who, they don't even have to be your best friends, people who have maybe different skill sets than you have, who can weigh in on things and who can kind of play that cheerleader role that a business partner would play.
Well, and isn't it going to be fun for us now that we know this? We're going to send you so many love texts.
Oh.
This is what we do with each other all the time. I'll randomly get a text from Kristen that says, "Hello, beautiful queen. You are going to have the best day of your life. I want you to know how much you're nailing it and how..."
Yes.
Da, 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 da. And it's just those little things that it actually does go a long way when you feel a little isolated.
Totally.
Is when the ego voice can get a little louder.
Yes, and especially now we live in this world where it looks like everyone's lives are so perfect online.
Mm.
You have no idea what's going on beneath the surface. So I think it's easy to look at someone online and be like, oh, they're nailing it. Like, they don't need my support or my encouragement. And but I think, you know, we've all gotten very good at curating our lives and making them look amazing. Anyone
yeah.
can use that encouragement.
Well, and also, you know, we're very lucky that all of our lives are amazing and there are beautiful things. And at the same time, we all have an inner critic and an ego that can attack us mercilessly.
Totally.
Can you say that word for me?
Mercilessly.
That's the one. I turned to my actor's friend. And it's just ruthless in the way that it will go to where our sacred wound is and push that button,
right?
And it's always when we're about to break through to somewhere new. Mm-hmm. So when we know that we're all in that boat together, I was telling Natalie that I love watching the Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling and hearing all his fears about not being funny and not being good enough. And then even in the Mr. Rogers documentary, when he was like writing a new episode, it's like, I don't know if I know how or if I can do it after years and years of doing it. So it's universal. It's inside all of us. And it gets louder the bigger you choose to go.
Yeah.
Something I want to talk about, because you said this morning and it just rocked me. You were talking about women entrepreneurs, and the reason that you love inspiring and talking to women entrepreneurs is because so many women don't know they can be.
Yes. One of the things reflecting back on my own childhood is because I never thought of myself as an entrepreneur, even when I was on the plane on the way out to Silicon Valley. Like, I would never have used, you know, inventor or entrepreneur's words to describe myself. And I started thinking about why. And like, what can we say to girls at that 9 and 10 year age? And what I realized is I had so many people in my life who told me, like, Randy, you can have any job you want. And, you know, that was very empowering. Like, they were, you know, feminists of the time. It was, you know, or in like the late 80s. And, but I never had anyone tell me, Randy, you can create any job you want. And I just wonder, like, if we said that to more girls, or if even one person had said that to me when I was young, would it have reframed my thoughts on what I thought would be possible for myself?
What's the job
so
you want to create?
And I do think, and something Kristen and I obviously stand for, and I think has been a huge part of our own success, is our friendship and is our willingness to hold other women up.
Yeah.
And to say, we as women have the opportunity to say, we are not going to be in competition with one another.
Yeah.
We are not going to fall into the false stories that if one of us gets something, the other one can't. We are going to take a stand that we're all for each other. We're all on the same team. And how can we bolster, empower, support? How can we take all the real great feminine qualities of nurturing and generosity and loving and give it to one another and support that there is a place for all of us? And like you said, we have the capacity when we feel that level of foundation under us, yeah. we can do, be, totally. Create whatever we want.
Totally. And I have felt that from both of you in my own life. I mean, Chris, and the opportunity to work on Rock of Ages with you just completely changed my life in ways that, like, I think I'll spend the rest of my life thinking about how to put that into words. It was exactly the gift from the universe that I needed at the moment that I needed it. Thank you.
My pleasure. And, you know, I feel like it's so fun to realize that any dream we have can come true at any moment.
Totally.
Right? And that whether it's being on Broadway or it's creating our dream business or creating a family,
mm-hmm.
that with a specific intention and moving and just being willing to move in that direction. Whenever I've been called by something, sometimes what I say to myself is, what would happen if you just pointed in that direction and then slowly started to move forward?
Yeah.
And so I just imagine, I'm just so curious about what your experience was like.
I mean, so it's very, so even from when I was 2 or 3 years old, like if you had asked me what my dream was in life, my number one dream, I would have said to sing on Broadway. And then somewhere in life, you know, reality kind of gets beaten into you. And, you know, my life took a very different turn. I went out to Silicon Valley and worked in tech and, it's hard to be a woman out in Silicon Valley. It's amazing to, you know, have the opportunity to be part of something, you know, that's really changing the world, but it's hard to be a woman. And, I kind of waffled between like either feeling like I was invisible in a room or like wishing I was more invisible, you know, standing out so much. And so one of the things that I had a few mentors that told me, they were like, just keep your head down, like don't have any side interests or hobbies, you know, be as uninteresting as you can.
Wow.
And so I had loved to sing my whole life and I basically just shoved that away. And I was like, I'm not going to do any theater or singing or anything on the side so I could like be less interesting and fit in. And it's kind of like that Oprah quote where like, if you shove away something that's important to you, it like slowly like starts whispering at you and then it's like screaming at you and then
bricks in your head.
Yeah. And so I was at this moment in my life where I was like, oh my gosh, have I sacrificed like a part of my soul to fit in this industry? And like, where am I and what am I doing? And it was like a week later that I got the call being like, Rock of Ages is interested in like maybe a tech personality coming into the show. Do you want to sing on Broadway? And I was like, oh, first of all, I thought I was getting punked. Like I thought like Ashton Kutcher was going to jump out and be like, you got punked. And I was like, holy shit. Like this is exactly the gift. Like the universe is just like handing me this gift that like I can't even like, what did I do to deserve this? Like I don't even know what happened. I had just found out an hour before that I was pregnant with my second son. And so when they were like, maybe in a few months you could come into the show, I was like, how about Monday? How about Monday if I like move to New York? And then, you know, that was one of the scariest things I think I did, and I'm sure it was terrifying for all of you guys involved with the show, because you're like, who is this like random person from Silicon Valley who's coming into like our Broadway show? That for me like completely changed my life at the moment I needed it.
I love that you just opened to it a little bit and then all of a sudden it was like the universe is like here. And I also love that you said that it came in and it felt like this gift. I love to think that all the great things that come into our life are like that. They're like grace.
Yeah.
They're just like, here you go.
Yeah.
And also, I think there's this thing of so many of us say, I really want this. And it starts to show up in some way. And then people say, but not right now. Or I don't have the money. Or
the timing is not right. I mean,
Monday,
the timing was horrible. I literally just found out I was pregnant. And And, like, talk about imposter syndrome, like what you're saying.
Yes.
I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to go into this world. You know, I was in my 30s already. I was like, I'm going to go into this world of all these, like, beautiful 20-year-old dancers who are going to be like, what the hell is this Silicon Valley woman, like, doing coming into this show? And I was like, I can't sing like them. I can't dance like them. I can't do anything. But, like, I'm going to just embrace being very uncomfortable and go for it. But from then, I mean, that has brought so many incredible people, creative people into my life. I moved to New York because of it. And now I'm involved in so many creative projects and different things. So it was, it really turned my life in a different direction.
Well, and that ability to just go for it and to embrace being uncomfortable.
Yes.
Like that, those are some of the most important tools I think we have in our tool bag as creators and entrepreneurs, which I think is the same word.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those things where you're like, you know, once you can have 7 rehearsals and then like go on Broadway, like you could do anything that life or business throws at you. So like just go for it, you know?
You are such an inspiration.
Wow.
And I'm so happy that our listeners get to know you as a human being, because you have all of these fancy, incredible things that you do, but who you are and your heart and your mind and your curiosity and your zest for life and the way you love and the way you show up and the way you always have a beautiful outfit and the way you care. I mean, Kristen and I have this joke where we always say, today is the best day of our lives.
Yeah.
And so often when I think of you, I think, Randy's living the best day of her life.
Thank
and so
you.
Thank you for just who you are, for the example you are to so many women, young and old, at any stage in their life. I think that just spending time with you is so inspirational of asking more empowered questions in my own life. So I'm just so grateful that you're here with us today.
Well, thank you. Thank you to both of you. Just both of your friendship has been an incredible gift to me. And the things that both of you have been involved with have just really taken on these huge, amazing lives of their own and have empowered so many other people. So thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The way that you give permission, especially to women, is really inspiring. And so it's just exciting to feel like we're all on the same team of being out in the world saying, yeah, you can. You can.
And you can do it in cute shoes.
Oh, yes!
So tell our listeners, if they want to get a copy of your book, we just got copies of
yes.
the book. We're going to make her sign them for us.
Yes.
Where can people find your book? Where can people find you and what you're up to?
Thank you. Thanks. Yes. Yeah, so the book is called Pick 3. I love when people support local bookstores. So if there's a local bookstore near you, I would encourage you to go talk to them and see if they have it in stock or can get it. Otherwise, you know, very available on Amazon and all of your favorite online booksellers. And please, if you do read it and like it, if you want to, you know, drop a social media post
Yay!
About it, I'm at Randy Zuckerberg on almost every platform. If you visit suestechkitchen.com, you'll see where we're coming around the country to visit also. So thank you both so much.
Oh my gosh, it's such a pleasure. I feel like we
such a pleasure.
Got to have great girlfriend time today.
Great. And anytime you need great girlfriend time, you know where to find us.
Absolutely. I love it. Thank you.
So listeners, we have a few little things to tell you about. If you want to check out our website, thecreateseries.com, we added 2 new classes. Randy, get this. Saturday night, we're having a dance party.
This Saturday night.
This Saturday night.
In New York City.
It's called Dharma Dance.
That's amazing.
And it's going to be a sweaty, fun, conscious dance party with guided meditation at the end.
Wait, that's incredible.
It's incredible.
7 to 9 p.m.
It's going to be at New York Loves Yoga on the Upper West Side. It's between Amsterdam and Columbus on 83rd Street. You can go to our website. You can sign up. You definitely want to dance with Kristen and I on the full moon. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
all the things will happen.
And the
yeah.
second thing is we're offering a 4-hour course that's on living your purpose and opening yourself up to your creativity and your authenticity. And that's also going to be at New York Loves Yoga. And that's going to be in August. I want to say it's August 18th in the afternoon.
That's exactly right.
So all that information is on our website. We also have our online course available via our website. Also, you can find our podcast if you want to share it with a friend via the website.
And we also have to say, we have one spot left for our retreat in Rome. So we're going to Rome at the end of August. So it's the weekend that's the end of August into the beginning of September. And we're doing Pleasure in Roma.
On Labor Day weekend, all we're doing is play and pleasure.
So we have spot left.
One
so
spot.
If that has been speaking to you, come sign up and then meet us in Italy for gelato and romance.
I mean, that does not suck at all.
Be ready if you
want
to come.
If you want to
I know.
Yes.
I was like, if I could talk my husband into babysitting, then I'll fight any of your listeners.
Thank you again. We love you so much, and we can't wait to do this again.
Thank you both.
You're so beautiful.
Thank you, friends and listeners.
Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T.E. Community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?